Hey, good evening, everybody. Who's excited to be in church? Come on. Well, the Cowboys lost, if you were here this morning. Guess I'm a false prophet. I thought they would win for sure. But Dez got robbed. Amen, if you saw the game. Praise God. I think God wants to do something great. Go ahead and play, my friend. How are you doing? You good? You're a good man. I appreciate you. How many think Carlos is just the best, huh? And who are you with this morning? Is that your daughter? Oh, she's the cutest. Autumn. What a name, too, huh? Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1. And man, I just really feel an anointing. And I'm just going to have you play for a couple of minutes, Car. We'll go Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And I'm just going to pray. We're going to talk about favor and just believe for just a... I believe that today could be a moment in your life that you could look back on and say, man, I remember that day something shifted in my favor from that day. And I'm going to believe for that today. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And we're going to read through verse 38. And then we're going to go to John chapter 1 after that. But Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now watch her response to favor. This is amazing. Confused and disturbed. That's her response to favor. So you know you've been, you know, you get in a great Bible church like this and pastor starts talking about overflow and receiving and sowing and reaping and God wants to be good to you. And you know, maybe you're from a different kind of church and you come in here and you're confused and disturbed. You know, because all you've known is a religious system that God's mad at you and bad news, bad news, bad news. That's all you've ever heard. You know, you turn on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, woe is me, the rest of them, and it's just bad news, bad news, bad news. And man, you can't hear this good news. And so Mary has been under the law, but now she's hearing grace for the first time. And she tries to think, what does he mean? Think about that. And he says, don't be afraid. So she's afraid, she's confused, and she's disturbed by the favor of God. But the angel told her, you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I am a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, now notice how this miracle is connected. Your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren. Used to say. There was one way that people knew you and one way that people thought about you and one way you thought about yourself. And this is how it used to be. But we've had an encounter with favor. And this is how it used to be. And this is how I used to act. And this is how I used to talk. And this is how I used to live. And this is how I used to believe. But I had an encounter with the Savior. And I went from barrenness. God has changed my life. She was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. What a great verse for 2015. Put that on your fridge. Put that in your bathroom. Put that on your mirror. Put that in your car. Put it everywhere. You put it on your phone. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. One more scripture now. John chapter 1, verse 46. I'll just read it to you. Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? We're going to answer that today. And I believe we're going to answer it with a resounding yes. So I want to talk about favor. I want to preach from this idea. Favor found me in Nazareth. Favor found me in Nazareth. Just elbow your neighbor. Get churchy with me for 1 second. Tell them, favor found me. Come on, tell them that. Favor found me. Favor found me. Favor found me. Favor found me. Favor. Jude, this is going to be a transformative year for you. How old are you? 20. 20 was probably the most life-changing, one of the most life-changing years of my life. 14, I got saved. 17 was the year that I got, I don't know how else to say it, I fell in love with the Bible when I was 17. God has done things in my life every 3 years. It's pretty weird I could tell you all that, but it'd bore you. But 20, I moved to Vegas, and I had a radical encounter with God for those 9 months. I had one of the greatest battles I've ever had. I fought a spirit of fear when I was 20 years old. I was having panic attacks. It was amazing, but I met God in it because I learned how to fight. I went on a 40-day fast when I was 20. Got engaged when I was 20. It was a significant year. I went to a Benny Hinn crusade and somehow lied, cheated, did whatever I had to do to get to the stage every service and had him pray for me, and had a radical encounter with God. It was a significant year for me, and I just feel like this year, 2015, is going to be no other way. It's going to be a benchmark year for you. You will look at your children and you will look at your family and say, when I was 20 in 2015, and you will be able to do what I just said. You'll be able to say, there was this and this and this and this, and I was never the same. And I just want you to be open to that, even in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you, get away with God and watch Him speak to you like never before. You will see the Word. I just saw a vision. You will see the Word in 3D. It will come out at you. And you didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's God grabbing you this year. Not that He hasn't, you know, I'm not. It's just going to be one of those life-changing years. And you'll always be able to look back on it. And I can't wait to see what God does in your life. You really got a call to ministry. I don't know if you want that. You know, sometimes we don't. But when you're called, you're called. And you'll do great things. You'll teach. You'll preach. And, you know, I know that's big. And I know you've seen what your parents have had to go through, and you've seen the battles, and you've thought, man, can I handle that? Well, you can't, but His grace is sufficient. And you'll be able to carry the burden when it's your time. You watch it happen. Man, I feel the anointing. Favor. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the favor of God. Thank You for what You're going to do this year in this church. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we expect great days. I would have given up. I would have quit unless I would have believed that I would have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Lord, I thank You that we will see Your goodness this year in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Can we applaud the Lord and just give Him a shout? Hallelujah. Shoo! Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. I'll call you up in a little bit. We find Israel in Luke chapter 1 in a dark place. They are now in 400 years of prophetical silence. God has not talked to the nation since Malachi. And, you know, they kind of ended on a bad note. His last word in the Old Testament is cursed. Okay. So, you know, the people are a little uneasy. They are now under Roman rule and Roman reign. They are basically glorified slaves to the nation of Rome. The religious system of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is completely corrupt and completely perverse. And this is where we find the children of Israel. The glory days of Israel are over. There are no Davids. There are no Joshuas. There are no Abrahams. This is a dark moment in the nation of Israel. And we find, especially as you read Luke chapter 1, anyone who had faith in this moment really longed for only one thing. They longed for the Messiah. There was nothing else that could help the nation at this moment. Not a new king, not a new war hero, not the next general in the faith. They needed the Messiah. They needed the one that was prophesied about. They needed literally God's Son to come and to turn the nation around. And you'll find, as you even read in the book of Luke, that the people were in on one promise. They left them poor. Pharisees had left them in a very... And yet... You've tried everything. Once you've done the ships and relationships, satisfy. Talking about the American be as poor. What we're looking for, Jesus. Your heart will find, because this is what we're for, the wrong things. You know, for the right Jesus in the tomb. We're all that. You're looking for purity. I think you're looking for peace. You're looking for joy. You didn't wake up and say, I want to smoke crack today. No, people don't do that. They're looking for an escape. They're looking for the peace that only Jesus can bring them. And friend, what this city needs is not necessarily another church. What this city needs is churches just like this that are preaching Jesus, that are lifting up the name of Jesus, that are preaching Jesus, that are praying to Jesus, that are speaking the name of Jesus. And we need people just like you and just like me that can bring in our friends to churches just like this and watch them have an encounter not with religion but with Jesus. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do I got five saints that know about Jesus? Do I got anybody that knows there's power in the name of Jesus? That you can pray for the sick and they can be healed. That you can pray for those who are oppressed and they can be delivered. That you can speak the name of Jesus no matter what kind of hell is going on around you. But all of a sudden the presence of God comes, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are safe. No matter what's going on in the economy, no matter what's going on with ISIS or Ebola or this or with that, friend, we've got a name and it's higher than every other name. It's the name of Jesus. Excuse me for being Pentecostal, but come on, I still love the name of Jesus. And my faith is not in the economy. My faith is not in the government. My faith is not in doctors. I thank God for all of it, but my faith is in a greater source. It's in the name. The name. It's the name above all other names. It's the name that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. It's at the name of Jesus that demons flee. It's at the name of Jesus that your body can be healed. It's at the name of Jesus. You start calling upon that name and your child will come home from backsliding and your husband can come back to God and your wife can come back to Jesus. I'm telling you, when you speak the name, there's power in the name. See, we want to take pride in our own name, and I thank God for your name, and I thank God for my name, but there's only one name with power. You can shout your name all over, and that sounds real pretty, but baby, when you speak the name, and the people are longing, they didn't know his name would be Jesus until this moment, but they're longing for the Messiah, they're longing for the Christ, they're longing for Jesus. And friend, when we've tried everything, from maybe you're down and out, or maybe you're up and in. But you will not be happy until you meet Jesus. One of my friends, maybe you know him. He's in Hollywood. His name is Judah Smith. He's a pastor, and God has given him great favor with Hollywood. He does a Wednesday night Bible study there right in the heart of Beverly Hills at the Montage Hotel. And every Wednesday night, about 1,000 of the who's who come to this Bible study from, you know, Justin Bieber, you name it, they're there. And he said, Jamin, here's the most amazing thing about this. When I was a youth pastor, I would look at 14 and 15 year olds and say, all you need is Jesus. But it doesn't really click when that's all they got. Like, what else are they going to do, you know? Jesus or PlayStation, but that's about it, you know? And it's like, great, pastor, okay, all I need is Jesus. So what's amazing is now I'm looking at executives and actors and stars with hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're just as broken and empty as the 16-year-old was when I was a youth pastor. And he goes, Jabin, it is so satisfying to know that this gospel is not a gospel just for the poor. It's not just a gospel. It's not a crutch for the weak, as the atheists want to say. Let me tell you what Christianity is. It's a stretcher for the dead. And we're all dead without Jesus. And now he's looking at 1,000 of the who's who, you name it, they're there. And he's looking at them every week and he's going, you're empty and you're dead inside. And what you need is Jesus. And they're responding. Friend, they're longing for Jesus. And maybe you're in this room and man, maybe you've never had a real encounter with Jesus. Tonight can be your night because when you encounter Jesus, by the way, you encounter favor. So people are longing for the Messiah, but my first point is they're looking for him. And according to Micah chapter 5, the Messiah would come to Bethlehem. But instead of the Messiah coming from Bethlehem, he comes in a, point number one, an unexpected place. He comes to Nazareth in Galilee. See, all eyes were on Bethlehem. It was a much more spiritual place. It was a much more religious place. It was a place where, kind of the who's who were there, and all eyes were on Bethlehem. So all the young virgins in Bethlehem thought, maybe I will be the mother of the Messiah. All the young men in Bethlehem thought, maybe I will be the father of the Messiah. And there were even a couple of young men there, had a little pride, and they thought, my mama says I'm really good looking. I think I might be the Messiah. All eyes were on Bethlehem, but God decides to go to Nazareth in Galilee. Now, no two regions could be more different. Nazareth was poor. It was non-religious. It was a melting pot of both Jews and Gentiles. Actually, the real Jews from like Jerusalem would look down on people from Nazareth and go, we really don't even know if you're really Jewish because we think you might be, kind of hooking up with the Gentiles. We really don't even know if you are who you say you are. Nazareth was uneducated. It was blue collar. It was the wrong side of the tracks. It was maybe this. Yeah, I'm from New Mexico. Maybe this will make sense to somebody. It was the hood. It was the ghetto. When you put the hood and the ghetto together, you get the good. Do I got any good people in here? They were good, good people. I'm born in Belen, New Mexico, population 2000. It was the good, okay? It was the ghetto. I was born in a trailer park, a 42-by-8-foot trailer. That's small. That's a Winnebago, okay, people? That was small. I'm the fifth of five children, so there were seven of us in a little trailer, in a trailer park. That's the ghetto, okay? I thank God that God will go to unexpected places like Nazareth, like Belen, like wherever you're at that you go, God could never move here. Or no, he can move right where you're at, right in your situation, right in your season, right in your Nazareth. God can meet you right there. God uses the foolish things, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He uses the weak things. He loves to go to the place that you would look at and say, it's hopeless. Nothing good could ever come out of this moment. And God says, no, I like to move right there because when I move right there, no one else gets the glory but me. Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Friend, we've all had a Nazareth. Some of you are in a Nazareth, a place that you would never think that God could move. It's an unexpected place, but I've found that God loves to move in unexpected places. Can anything good come out of my Nazareth? Can anything good come from that season? Can anything good come from that divorce? Can anything good come from being laid off? Can anything good come from that trial? Can anything good come from my child acting crazy? Can anything good come from that? And God says, yes, because I can put my hand in that situation and I can make a bad thing a good thing because I'm that good. The Bible said in Romans 8, he makes all things work together. He makes it happen. Y'all know about making it happen? Like not negotiating. God never negotiates with the devil. Y'all ever been in Target and white mama, and no offense to you white people, but like I'm Mexican. Mom never like was like, she never counted one. Dylan. Y'all know what I'm saying? Two. No, when you're Mexican, it's uno, dos, tres, cuatro. That's it. In public. My mom said, you ever call Child Protective Services, you also better call them more because I'm going to kill you. You know, like they just, that's how we grew up. But you know, you're in Target and sweet mom's there with their child and child's going crazy, right? She goes, honey, if you'll just stop crying, I'll get you an ice cream. Okay, get you an ice cream, honey. Y'all know what I'm saying? Come on, come on. You know, we've all seen it, right? If you'll, you know, they're in line and they're embarrassed and they just want to get through it. I will give you an Oreo right now if you'll just stop crying. God will never do that with the enemy. Devil, if you'll just stop messing with my kids, I'll get you an ice cream. I'll let you. No. It never worked. God makes it happen. He makes all things work together for your good. It looks like a terrible situation. It looks like it could never work out. It looks like what could God do with this? And God says, I will make it happen. I will put my hand on a bad situation and I will turn it around for your good. This is the God that we serve. Can anything good come from my Nazareth? Can anything good come from the trial? Can anything good come from the storm? And God says, yes, something good can come out of a bad situation, friend. I will take God in a Nazareth over no God in what is seemingly a perfect situation. This is the God that we serve. My pastor said this, Pastor Jensen said this, what you lost was painful, but what you have left is powerful. When you come out of a Nazareth, and when you've been in a Nazareth, and man, maybe you just feel like, man, I'm just barely here right now because of everything I've gone through. But listen, what you have left is enough for God to anoint, for God to put His hand on, for God to multiply, for God to bless. What you have left is enough for God to use to bless your life. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes. Listen to what Nazareth means. It means sprout. A green little shoot. A little branch. It ain't much, but there's life in it. It ain't very impressive, but there's still life inside of it. Man, I've been through a lot and I don't look like much right now, but there's still life in me. Religion might have wrote me off, but there's still life in me. The world might have said I'm hopeless, but there's still life in me. I know it's been a tough season, but God can release favor in a Nazareth. I love this in Acts chapter 20. The Bible said that Paul was preaching long, okay? He was the first Pentecostal preacher, and he preached long. And he's preaching long, and he's preaching long, and he's loving his own preaching, because most Pentecostals love their own preaching. And he's thinking, man, we're having a revival, and he thinks the kid is getting slain in the spirit. Really, the kid got bored, fell asleep, falls out of a window, and dies. And everyone looks at the kid and says, he's dead. But Paul says, do not be afraid. And I love this statement. There is still life in him. Friend, I want you to know something. I want to prophesy over to somebody. Do not be afraid. There's still life in you. There's still life in your future. You may have fallen, but you will rise again. Man, you may have been through so much and the devil said it's over. Give up. Quit. There's no more hope for you. There's no more purpose for you. You've made too many mistakes. No, there's still life in you. If you have a pulse, you have a destiny. And I have come today to clear away all the fear and to clear away the mockers and to clear away everything that would try to talk you out of your destiny and say there is life in you, and you can still do everything that God has called you to do. Can anything good come from my Nazareth? And I say yes. Come on, do you believe it? Let's give God a big shout of praise right now. Come on. Hallelujah. An unlikely place, number two, an unlikely person, Mary. Now in the church, we love Mary, and I think we should. But you got to realize Mary was human just like us and needed a Savior just like us. The name Mary, catch this, means bitterness and rebellion. She was young, she was poor, she was uneducated, and she was unqualified. That made her a perfect candidate for favor. If we could earn favor, it's not favor. It would be a payment. But the gift of God is eternal life. Favor is a gift from God that is unearned, undeserved. It's supernatural. And it is not based on your character. It's based on God's character. So listen, all she's ever heard, bitterness and rebellion. Bitterness and rebellion. This is all she's ever heard. This is the meaning of her name, bitterness and rebellion. And now the messenger comes, the angel comes and goes, hey, favored woman. And guess what? She's confused and disturbed. Because all she's ever known is bitterness and rebellion. But now the angel of the Lord comes with a new name, favor. Friend, God can rename you and rename your situation and rename your destiny. We are not what the world calls us. We are not our struggle. We are not our secret weakness. We are who God says we are. And whenever we hear that, it's hard to know, because all we know is our weakness and all we know is our struggle and all we know is the name that we've taken on and all we know is what the world has called us. And now God comes and he says, you're a new creation. You are the beloved of God. You're a son and a daughter of God. The favor of God is upon you. And it's confusing and disturbing because it's so different than anything we've known or experienced. But I believe God wants to change our name, favor. We are what God says about us. I'm not a result of what has been done to me. I am a result of what Jesus has done for me on the cross. Favor. Think about this. He in a moment favors her. Now I want you to catch this. What qualified her for the favor of God was not her own works and not her own righteousness. What qualified her for this moment to carry this miracle was who she was coming into covenant with, Joseph. It had nothing to do with her works. It had everything to do with the bloodline she was marrying into. Because the Bible said that the Messiah must come through the lineage of David. And Joseph was an ancestor of David. Friend, I've got news for you. We have a heavenly Joseph. And his name is Jesus. And because we've come into covenant with him, and because we've married into that bloodline, and because we've been covered in that blood that he shed for us when he cut covenant with us on the cross. And when you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to the favor of God. And it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. And because I'm in covenant with Jesus, and because I'm a covenant man, and because you're a covenant man and a covenant woman, and because this is a new covenant church, we can now experience the favor of God. And it doesn't have to do with us. It has to do with Jesus. And all we have to do is believe and receive. Come on. It's not by works, but it's by the blood. 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 9 says his blood purchased our redemption. You have found favor. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9 says that God gave Daniel favor. It's a gift. God just gave him favor. Just happened. It just unexplainable. It's just favor. Theologians talk about sustaining grace. Sustaining grace is when you get through a season in your life and you go, I'm not sure how I made it, but I made it. Thank God for grace, you know. Anyone ever had, you know, maybe one of those days, you know. But there's another kind of grace. It's called successful grace. The world calls it luck. Religion calls it good karma. But it's just successful grace. It's God going, I like you. It's the smile of God. It's just favor. It's just, you found favor. It's, you scratch your head and go, woo, I don't know. I ain't even trying to take credit for it. Like, I ain't even trying to say nothing right now. Just thank you, Jesus, and maybe a little bit of tongues, and I'm just going to keep it right there because I don't even know. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want him to kill me, but that was all God. God was so good to me. I ain't going to pat myself on the back. I'm not going to give you seven steps. I'm just going to fall on my knees and thank God. It's called favor. It's when God comes to Mary, says, man, the favor of God is on you. Friend, it's just the favor of God, and you just have to receive it. And it's a word from God that he speaks into you that you receive by faith. Luke chapter 1 verse 45 said that Mary was blessed because she believed. When the release of favor came upon her life, she believed it. There's an amazing passage in Exodus chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. Moses comes to the people of God. The people of God have been slaves to Egypt for 400 years. And after 400 years of slavery, Moses gets in front of a couple million people in the nation of Israel. And he says, guys, tomorrow I want you to go knock on the doors of the Egyptians. And I want you to ask for all the Mercedes-Benz and all the BMWs and all the Rolexes and all the Tiffany bracelet. I want you to ask all the silver and gold they got. Ask for it and they'll give it to you. And look what the Bible says in Exodus 11:13. Now the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel. Imagine that. God says, I'm releasing favor. All you got to do is knock. I'm releasing favor. All you have to do is ask. Friend, favor is something we receive. Jesus said it this way, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock. And that door will be open for you. Think about that. In one moment, favor is just released. Favor is when you're a real estate agent and you're at the bottom of the totem pole, but someone looks at you and goes, I know you don't have any experience, but I just really like you and trust you. I'm not sure why. I want you to sell my house. That's favor. Favor is when there's people who are more qualified at your job, but somehow you get the promotion. It's just favor. It's just, you've been fighting with your boss for years. And then one day your boss just looks at you and smiles and everything's cool. And it's like, what? Just that favor. Friend, it can happen. God can cause it to happen. Think about that. He made it happen. They've been enemies for 400 years, but God releases favor. And in one day, they get all the silver and gold from Egypt. Favor. Friend, we can believe for the supernatural advantage of God on our life. The favor of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 60 that in the last days, the world would get darker and darker, but there would be a light that would shine brighter and brighter. And that is the church. And in this day and age, what we need is the light of God's favor upon our lives, that our coworkers and our friends and our family look at us and go, what is different about you? Why are you so blessed? Why are you so happy? Why is your marriage working? Why don't you need that drink? Why don't you need those drugs? Why don't you need what everyone else needs? And you'll be able to look at them and say, it's because of the blessing and the favor of God upon my life. And people's hearts will turn to the Lord and turn to the church because there is a shining light. Come on, called Spectrum Church. That this building cannot contain. It's favor. And lastly, an unlikely connection. Elizabeth. Unlikely places, Nazareth. Unlikely people, Mary. Unlikely connections, Elizabeth. God was working behind the scenes, preparing this miracle to happen. I want you to know something. You may not feel like God's working right now. You may not feel like God's speaking right now. But God has heard your prayer, and He is currently working on your behalf. Because see, the Messiah, according to Isaiah 40, needed a forerunner. And every miracle needs a miracle. And some of you are looking at your friend going, why are they blessed and I'm not blessed? And God says that miracle is a forerunner to build your faith for your miracle. See, Jesus needed a John the Baptist. So before Mary ever got pregnant, 6 months earlier, Elizabeth got pregnant. And what does the forerunner do? They prepare the way. According to Isaiah 40, they make the mountains lay low, the valleys rise up, the crooked paths straight. They prepare the atmosphere for the Messiah. See, what God is doing right now in your life, you feel like, where is the Lord and where's the miracle and where's the breakthrough? And God says, I'm preparing an atmosphere. I'm preparing a place so that when I release your miracle, nothing is wasted. God is putting the pieces together for your greatest breakthrough. He's putting the right people in your life. He's putting the right connections in. Man, I feel this right now. Somebody with faith, I'm telling you, you can receive this right now. He's putting the right things together, the right business deal. Why didn't that work out and why didn't this happen? But God says, I have been orchestrating your life. My sovereign hand has been upon your life and I've actually been doing things that you have not seen, you have not heard, you have not experienced, but I have not forgotten about you. I have not ignored you, but I started with Elizabeth to prepare this moment for your miracle. You are not in a season of prohibition. You are in a season of preparation. I love this scripture. In Luke chapter 1 verse 13, God comes to Zechariah. The angel comes to Zechariah. He goes, Zechariah, I got great news for you, man. God heard your prayer. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth would have now been in their late 40s or 50s. In Bible days, you would have had your children in your teenage years, and really early teenage years, about 14 to 20. That's when you would have had children in Bible days. Now, they're in their 40s and 50s. Let's put this together. And the angel of the Lord comes to Zechariah and goes, I got great news for you, man. God heard your prayer. Zechariah's going, is it my male pattern baldness? What are we talking about? What prayer? Come on, think about it. God, no, you're going to have a baby. But I haven't prayed that prayer in 20 years. That prayer is 30 years old. That, man, I haven't prayed that since I was 16. God says, just because you stopped praying it doesn't mean I stopped hearing it. You know, scientists tell us that light goes forever, but sound eventually dies. That eventually it goes into the atmosphere and it has nothing else to reverberate with, so it dies. But the Bible said that every prayer prayed goes into a scale before the Lord, and He remembers every prayer. That every tear you cry goes into a bottle, and He remembers every tear. See, scientists forget the God factor. Every time you pray, that prayer never dies. It goes into the heart of God. And it lives there forever. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you something. Woo, man, I feel this right now. There are some of you that prayed prayers 20 years ago and 10 years ago and 5 years ago. And I'll be very, 6 months ago and 8 months ago. Some of you prayed radical prayers at the beginning of 2014. And man, you thought the breakthrough was coming, but March came around and you forgot about it and you gave up on it. But God says, I didn't give up on it and I didn't forget about it. And I've been hearing that prayer in my ear. And I've got good news for every person in this room. A day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. God has not forgotten your prayer. God has heard your prayer. God has heard your cry for your spouse, for your child, for your business, for your promise. And you're going, God, where is the prophecy? God, when is the fulfillment coming? But God says, do not grow weary in well-doing. God is hearing the prayers that you've sowed, and you will also reap. Come on, does anybody believe it? I'm prophesying right now. God's about to answer your prayer. Friend, I am 31 right now. Hey, I'm sorry, man. I feel this. Give me some music right now. I feel a prophetic anointing on me right now. I can remember being 14 and getting saved and praying prayers. God, use me. God, call me. God, anoint me. God, do something with my life. God, send me to the next. I can remember being 16 in Del Rio, Texas, and a girl calls me out and says, you will lead worship and you will preach before thousands of people. Friend, I'm walking in those prophecies today. I'm walking in prayers prayed by my mother when I was 2 years old. Friend, I'm telling you, God has not forgotten about you. God has heard your prayer. And I believe that 2015 will be a year of fulfillment. I prophesy it will be a year of answered prayer. It will be a year where all of a sudden it will be like a thought hits you. Oh my gosh, I remember praying this 10 years ago and I'm in it and I didn't even know I was in it. You stopped praying it, but God didn't stop listening to it. Unlikely connections. God is going to connect you with the right people. He's going to begin to answer your prayers. Just because you have not received your answer does not mean God has not heard. Psalm 56 verse 9 says, the very day I call for help, the tide of the battle turns. When you pray, the tide turns. You may not feel it, you may not know it, you may not sense it, you may not experience it right away, but you better know one thing. Every time you sow a seed, the tide turns. Every time you praise God when you don't want to praise God, the tide turns. Every time you lift your hands when you really want to be home, but instead you come to the house of God and you throw your hands up and you worship God and you shout hallelujah. Every time you worship, every time you praise, every time you pray, every time you give someone on the street a dollar, every time you sow a seed into this church, every time you encourage someone, every time you volunteer in the parking lot and in the children's, every time, when I called for help, God says the tide of the battle turns. And I want you to know something. It's turning in your favor. It's turning in your favor. Hallelujah. I said it's turning. Your body is getting healed right now. Your finances are turning. Your family is turning. It's turning. Man, I feel that. Daniel prayed. The Bible records in the book of Daniel, there was a war in the heavenlies. And 21 days later, Michael comes to Daniel. He says, you got to know something. The moment you prayed, God heard you. And he sent me, but there was a battle in the spirit. But I believe there can be a breakthrough. He prayed, but the answer was given, but it was not received because there was a battle. But I believe this is going to be a year where the battle turns and there's a breakthrough. And friend, I know it because I've experienced it. I know what it is. And just trust me in this. I know I haven't been serving God long, but I've served God long enough to have seasons where I've just walked by faith and I've just sowed and I've confessed and I've read and I've prayed and I've fasted and I believed God and seemingly I didn't see nothing. But then out of nowhere, I've had breakthrough moments, breakthrough years, breakthrough seasons. I know what it is to experience a breakthrough. I know what it is to experience the messenger of God coming into my life and releasing a word, a supernatural change in my life. And I truly believe that this can be that kind of moment for you. In the name of Jesus. Whew. I want to end with this. I'm just trying to say what, you know, trying to think what to say. There's so much in my heart. The word I believe the Lord gave me lastly is this: believe for favor again. And I want that to get in your heart. Believe for favor again. And here's why I say that. Because there are seasons in life where we go through it and we put our head down and we just, by faith, we just go. because we're doers of the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we go confessing and possessing and just doing that, whatever we can to get through it. We're sowing. There are moments in life of favor. You've just gotten into this thing where, because of disappointment, breakthrough favor. Chapter 3 said, I want you to go, if you can go back that, I remember what it was like, and I could believe I hadn't experienced disappointment. I think we were just crazy. We'd go to the streets with guitars and start singing with signs that say, can we pray for you? People would laugh at us, spit at us, throw things at us. We thought, oh my God, we're receiving persecution, you know. And it was even better. We'd pray for people. They'd get healed, get saved, get, you know. I mean, it was just awesome. I'm thinking of funny stories right now. I mean, it was just, you know, we were just pumped. And Jesus says, go back to that. Just go back to being alone with God, and you're driving to work tomorrow morning, and instead of turning on talk radio, or instead of turning on the news, or whatever you turn on, and you already know it all, and it's already all bad, and you already know it, so you don't need to turn it on. Instead, turn on some worship and just start talking to Jesus and say, Lord, I believe you for favor today. Lord, I believe for good days. Lord, I believe for a breakthrough. I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just believe. And God says, believe for favor again. And I really believe unlikely places, Nazareth. Unlikely people, just like you and me. Unlikely connections. Unlikely God connections. God will release favor. And I want to pray and believe for favor. So why don't we all just stand to our feet? 7:30, we'll be out of here in just a moment. But I just want to believe. And why don't you just lift up your hands in kind of a just a receiving posture, however that is for you. And in the name of Jesus, I come into agreement with you right now as a messenger. And I just believe with you for favor. Favor again. The Bible said his anger lasts a moment. And by the way, that anger happened when he poured out a lifetime. You could just pray for favor, believe for supernatural. God's turning idea in 2015, natural favor. You're left. Sunday morning, but come on, it's germaphobe, but get up, connect to this. Lord, give my, just whisper, you could talk with your faces. This year, Lord, and I got a scratching the righteous for the light. God's favor is on me. I want to read a passage out of the book of Job real quick, and I want to declare this and decree this. The light of God's favor is shining upon me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Look at this scripture, friend. I'm going to read it to you real quick. Ooh, I feel Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. I want to read this scripture. This is just got to find it. I'm sorry, I got so many. This is Job chapter 22, verse 28. You will decide and decree a thing, and it will be established. Come on, 2015, we're deciding and decreeing a thing. We're decreeing and deciding favor, and it shall be established for you. And the light of God, man, I feel the presence of Jesus. Come on, reach out and grab this. And the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. 2015 version, it will shine upon your business. It will shine upon your family. It will shine upon that prodigal son or daughter. It will shine upon your in-laws. It will shine upon your family. It will shine upon your the light of God's favor will shine upon everything you put your hand to will be blessed. And we decide right now in the name of Jesus, and we decree a thing, and that thing is favor. Not fear, favor. Not doubt, favor. Not just enough, more than enough, favor. Lord, we are your people. We decide and we decree favor. 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 In the name of Jesus. If you need a healing in your body, lift your right hand towards heaven right now. If you need a healing. If you need a healing in your body, you need a supernatural touch in your body. Lift your right hand towards heaven. Jesus said, lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. So in the name of Jesus, I say that your hand is anointed by the Holy Ghost. I say that healing is in your hand. And I say that your body is recovering right now. That the very anointing of God that is on the inside of you is rising up right now and driving sickness and infirmity out of you. And I command every spirit of infirmity to loose you and let you go. Every tormenting thing that would try to stop you from fulfilling the call of God. Every spirit of death and discouragement and tiredness. There's a man right here. You're in right now. You're feeling of Jesus. All that pain is all this part of your body that needs. You could have blessed the Lord on my sins. All infirmity grows and open, migrates in the of. I mean, you will wake up. Migraines tonight. You will rest. 7:40. I want to get you. God is doing something or has done something, and it's done right now in your body. Either you know a work has begun, or you know, man, I'm healed. It's a done. I was this way, and now I'm this way. It's done. And just look for it right now. Just begin to look. Don't look for the sickness. Look for the healing right now. Look for, oh wow, it's opening up. Oh, I can breathe. Oh wow, my shoulder's loosening up. Just and you can feel a change. Now we're faith people, not by faith, but there's actually something happening right now. You feel something happening. You felt the power of God come on you. And maybe it's not 100 yet, but you're recovering. You know, Jesus said that. He said, lay your hands on the sick, you will recover. There's a recovering process happening. If you sense that right now in any area of your life, just let me see your hand right now. You can sense the recovery. Wow, 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 wow. Look at all these hands. Recover, 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 recover. Look at this. Wow, recovering right now. I'm recovering. Something's happening. There's healing flowing in my body. Hallelujah. Be healed. Be completely restored. Let your youth be renewed like the eagles right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone with knees right now, just move that knee. Watch God healing you right now. I just believe for that right now. In the name of Jesus. Is there someone who had a surgery and it didn't heal correctly, and you've had issues there? Is there someone here with that kind of issue? I had a surgery and it didn't seem to. Am I feeling that for anybody right now? I had right here. Yeah, it just didn't work like it was supposed to work. I want you to lift your hands. And honey, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Chloe? Is it really? I love that name. How did I forget that? It's one of my favorite names. We're talking about that for a child when we have one. Put your hand on her shoulder. I just want you to lift your hands. Whatever that is, I just speak healing right now. What the doctor did not do or could not do, whew, Jesus, do that right now. Jesus, you went around doing good, healing all oppressed by the devil. And I tell this oppression right now, loose her and let her go. Chloe, I just want you to just declare that right now over her. Just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Just let that authority rise up right now. Be healed. Receive that right now. Be healed. Shebata materiba sikata. A good report is coming in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just worship Him for 1 minute. We're almost done, but can you lift your hands for 1 moment? Just worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 I worship you. Yeah, come on, come on. Sing to Him. Talk to Him. Whisper His name. Whisper the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everyone in that sound booth, just be renewed right now. All your service, all your work, be filled right now with a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Mashe Baba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, blessed be your name, blessed be your name. Shibabahate barababosoka. I'm not gonna call you out because I don't want to embarrass you, but if you are a couple and you cannot have children, I agree with you right now that you will be fruitful and you will multiply. And I come into faith with you, sir. Come into faith with you right now, mama. I call you mama by faith. I come into faith with you right now. And I say, you, by this time next year, they used to call you barren. They used to call you barren. But I come into faith right now. I agree with you right now. If you're a parent, maybe your child cannot, I want you to grab a hold of this and I want you to pray for your child after, or just grab, if this is for a friend, grab this and say, man, the preacher prayed for this and I just agree with you. You will be with child. Whether it's you, sir, or you, man, whatever, wherever the physical issue is, be healed right now. Hallelujah. 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 I speak to someone, you've been in fear because you don't have the disease right now, but you're afraid it's going to come back. But I speak that it will not come back a second time. I agree with you. That cancer will not rise again. That tumor will not come back. That issue will not come back a second time. It will not come back. It will not come back. You are healed. Know who that's for. I speak that right now. My God, I feel the anointing. The healing presence of Jesus. Just, I'll say this. We're going to worship one more moment. In the Hebrew language, there is no singular word for face. The word face in the Hebrew language is faces. It's plural. So when Paul in Corinthians talks about seeing the face of Jesus, as a Hebrew Jewish rabbi who spoke Hebrew, when Paul said you see the face of Jesus, in his Hebrew mind he was talking about the faces of Jesus. In other words, when you see Jesus, you see him in his fullness: healer, deliverer, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, King, Redeemer, Lord. In other words, when you get Jesus, you get everything. Not just the faith, but the multifaceted faces of Jesus. You get everything that he is and has. And so here's what I want you to do. Just one more minute and I'm done. I just want you to raise your hands one more time and I want you to just worship the name of Jesus right there. Whatever you need, as you worship him, provider, as you worship him, healer, as you worship him, deliverer, as you worship him, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, as you worship him, helper, as you worship him, protector, as you worship him, your shield, as you worship him, just the name of, in the name of Jesus, there is every need met. In the name of Jesus, everything you need is in that name. In the Old Testament, there were many names for God, but they're all wrapped up in one name. There's hundreds and hundreds of names for God in the Bible, but it all comes down to one name, friend. The name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. I want every person under 25, meet me at this altar right now. Under 25, come to this altar. Keep playing. Keep playing. Give me a little more sound, guys. A little more keys. Every person under 25, I declare, come as close as you can up here and lift your hands. In the name of Jesus. Wow, look at all these young people, Pastor. Look at this. My God, hallelujah. God, send a youth revival. Musicians, artists, graphic designers, dreamers, preachers, authors, soul winners. Lord, multi-millionaires right here in our midst. Doctors, lawyers, missionaries. Lord, the next, Lord, give someone in this room right here the next Google idea, the next Uber idea, the next Facebook, the next Instagram. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, favor these young people. I'm gonna read a stat to you. Just lift, young people, lift your hands right here. I'm gonna read something to you that's gonna build your faith. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Oh man, I want to find this. I don't know if I can, but I was thinking about that young person just with your hands lifted. The day Walt Disney was fired from his job for not being creative enough. Think about this. The day Walt Disney was fired for not being creative enough, he got on a train to go home. He pulled out a notebook and a pen and he drew a mouse. That was his God idea. And if you don't like Disney, I'm sorry, you're not going to like my wife. She's a fanatic. Lord, help her. But I don't want to fight about that. I want to say this. He tapped into that thing, that creative God idea for his life. And I young person, I disagree with you right now. Whatever that is, don't let the enemy talk you out of what God has for you. Write it. Make it plain. Do something with it. Get an education. Go to college. Get a master's. Get a doctorate. Do something great with your life. Don't limit what God has for you. I'm telling you, you can dream, you can believe right now. I release the favor of God on every one of these young people right here. Favor. Come on, agree with me, church. Stretch your hands, say favor. Come on, favor. Favor on campuses, favor at work, favor with their family. Favor, favor, favor forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, thank you for letting me go late. I believe, let me just end with this, the greatest days of this church are in front of you. This is a Jubilee year. I believe that. Five, the number of grace, 2015. I believe it's going to be a year of grace and favor. And I want to encourage every, you know, you've come on a Sunday night, you've got to be pretty committed. But let me just encourage you. If you're not tithing, tithe. If you're not giving, give. If you're not praying, pray. Get behind the vision of this church. Moses needed men to hold up his arms so that Joshua could fight. Every pastor needs men and women who say, Pastor, I'm here to hold up your arms. And I'm here to go with you. Us young people would say, ride or die. Here we go. I want to ask for you, just in our saying yes to Jesus in 2015, let's say yes to our church and just say, we're in. I'm all in. I'm just going for it. Now, my wife and I could say this. If there's one thing about me since I got saved in 1998, I have not been perfect and I've made many mistakes. But I have been radically committed to the house of God. That's one thing. And I think it's sustained me. I think it's kept me grounded in great seasons. And it's kept me lifted in tough seasons. And I just want to encourage you, man, get behind what God is doing this year in 2015 in this church. Watch Him bless you for it. Watch Him bless this church for it. I just really believe, Pastor, for two services. I believe with you for increase. I believe with you for every dream in your heart. Every dream in your heart will be financed. Every dream in your heart. I agree with you right here. Every dream in your heart will be financed supernaturally. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pastor, come up. Come on, let's give God a big shout.
What a great word. Come on, let's just praise the Lord a little bit more. Hallelujah. Come on. Say a year of fulfillment. Come on, say that, a year of fulfillment.